Folks, glad to have you here tonight. Good to be here back with you again. Sister Linda ministered last week, and we were blessed to have her here. And now I'm going to give you the word tonight. Blessings to you in Jesus' name. And, you know, I was just thinking today and thinking about a certain spirit that needs to be dealt with in people's life. There's a spirit of disintegration. That's right, disintegration, and the seeds of disintegration too. So we need to deal with that. you know, where you know this often works in a marriage, but where the seeds of the spirit of disintegration are operating, a lot of people can't communicate in their marriages because it's the spirit there disintegrating things. You need to deal with that and deal with it first before it starts, and need to look for these and find these spirits in operation because they can wreak havoc, right? Oh, yeah. Well, we know that demons wreak havoc when they're allowed to because that's what they do. Steal, kill, and destroy, and wreaking havoc is destruction. So we must be wise about these things that are going on and that are happening around us right now, and so many things are. Let's have a little bit of news tonight before we get into the word here. Biden urges Trudeau to get even tougher on the Freedom Convoy. Yeah. Ontario authorizes cops to seize vehicles and fine drivers, and the government asked the court to freeze the $8.6 million donated on Give, Send, Go, and confiscate or take the money. Probably they want it for themselves. Who knows? But then the mayor warns that trucks will be physically removed. Okay. Well, Ontario has also declared a state of emergency. And President Trump called Trudeau a far-left lunatic. Well, Mel Gibson says the Catholic Church needs to undergo house cleaning. Well, yeah, they need to undergo house cleaning a whole lot more, demon cleaning. To get back to the basics, he says, after years of scandal. And German Cardinal says priests should be allowed to marry. He says it would be better for their life. Yeah, well, they should be allowed to be married. There's no scripture that says they can't marry. But that was a religious spirit and the religious thing they did. Mel Gibson, you know, is a Catholic, and so is that other movie star. Forget his name. But anyway, Bill Johnson's wife, Benny Johnson, having trouble breathing amid her ongoing battle with cancer. Wow. Yeah, that's something terrible going on there, but you know, I'm not going to comment on these things. Police search for gunman who killed a woman and shot two pastors at a Colorado church. The church was Assembly of God Church, and there were about 15-20 people in the building when the shooting took place. The shooter supposedly was 31-year-old Jose de Jesus Montoya Villa, was supposedly the shooter, so that's who it was. And I think it was a Spanish church because the names of those shot were Latin names there. So, I mean, were Spanish names. All right, William Conway Broyles, 57-year-old music minister for 23 years at Hodges Boulevard. This is an example of demons taking over in personal life here. That's what we're seeing here. Okay, I'm going to show you and tell you, I mean. At Hodges Boulevard Presbyterian Church for 23 years, he was the music minister in Jacksonville, Florida, and he stunned his church and his neighbors when he confessed to killing his wife, his daughter, and one of his two adult sons in their home on Wednesday. That's right. Some spirit somehow took him over, and he called the police on himself and was laying out in the driveway when they got there unarmed and with its arms spread out. And when the police asked why you didn't kill yourself, he said, I was afraid to kill myself. Okay, well, if you weren't afraid to kill them, what kind of spirits were that? Yeah, they're, I mean, you know, at times in people's lives, if they don't get delivered, these spirits can get their way with them and do horrendous things like this. This is tragic. And these are Christian people, supposedly. You know, I don't know whether he's truly born again or not, but 23 years serving as a music minister, trying to lead people to worship God, and then all of a sudden, just something gets a hold of him. He kills his wife and daughter and one of his two sons. And that home, that family was almost wiped out in just one day. Well, a demon speaks in deliverance. And by the way, you know, I know that we allowed demons to talk before, and I can't go 100% on what they say because they're liars, okay? But anyway, in this particular case, demon in deliverance was speaking and said COVID vaccine opened doors for demons to come in. That's what the person under the influence of the demon said. The demon spoke to him. And the demon says pharmakia has black magic in it. Well, that's probably true, right? So, but the object the demon says is to kill the people before they can get saved. That's why they're being vaccinated, according to this demon talking to this individual. Which, again, I know demons are chronic liars because their other father is the devil, and so they lie a lot. So I don't usually go heavily on what they say. But anyway, interesting. Comedian Heather McDonald was doing a comedy bit in Arizona last Saturday night, and she was mocking people who believe in Jesus and those who opposed forced vaccination, COVID vaccination. And then, you know, she had just had the booster shot, I think, 3 weeks before, and she just collapsed on stage and fell out. That's right. And at first, people were laughing, and they thought it was part of the act, but it wasn't. And she said they checked everything out, went to the hospital, and they took her to the hospital, and she's now recovering from a skull fracture. That's right. Well, you know what? You better not mock God. You know, this person's not saved and was mocking God and mocking Christians and said, I didn't get COVID, so I'm God's favorite. You know, and just saying stupid, mocking stuff that, you know, there's some real antichrist, God-hating comedians out there, okay? And she is obviously one of them. And here she had this horrible accident, falls out on the floor, has a brain fracture, a skull fracture, that is. It's better not to mock God. I remember before I was saved, I was witness to, and I mocked God. And I took off out of there and had a bad wreck, you know. And I said, I'm not going to mock God again. I had respect for God. I didn't ever mock God again, even though I didn't get saved for another year or so, maybe 2 years. I don't remember exactly, but yeah, I realized, no, I'm not going to ever mock God again. Never again did I. Then I finally got saved, thank God. I have been witnessed to several more times before. And I thank God for people who go out and witness. You know, you might not lead them to the Lord right then, but you know what? You planted seeds in them, and either they're going to get saved later like I did. I mocked God, and that person probably thought I was totally against what them and what they were sharing with me about the gospel that day when they witnessed to me and shared Jesus with me. But you know what? It was a seed planted, and they didn't know that when I went out of there after cursing them, mocking them and all that. And they didn't know that I went out and had a wreck. You know, they didn't know all those things. They didn't know that I ever got saved, probably. But they just did what they did. They witnessed to me. And, you know, God is not mocked. There's a lot of people out there that are mocking God. But the Bible says if you're not a Christian, you're going to reap what you sow. And it isn't going to be pleasant when they reap what they sow. And so we need to be, taking God a little more seriously than a lot of people do, I think, you know. Amen. 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 Well, Verizon will soon turn on 2,000 more 5G towers. Already in January, they turned on 5,100 of them, 5,100. And 5G is very dangerous, and many doctors and scientists oppose it, but, you know, they're still going ahead with that. And there's those that say that it is a promoter of COVID and other things along those lines, and that may be true. Also, we're seeing that soaring fertilizer prices are going to spark famine and unseen in modern history, they're saying. And ahead of the largest supermarket chain in Great Britain says that the worst is yet to come from rising food prices. And how many have noticed rising food prices, right? Well, we've sure seen it here, and I know that you're seeing it there, and And things are going up and things are changing here, and we need to be in prayer. We need to be wise and ask the Lord what he'd have us to do about any of these things, if anything, that we would know and be led by the Spirit. If he'd have us to store up, prepare for the evil days that are coming or not. But, you know, I'm still believing that God is truly, and he showed me, he's going to show up, and he's not being mocked, and he's a big God, folks. And a lot of people just, where is God? Well, God is moving, and he's going to move more. I believe we're going to see it this year. And if you read the word that the Lord gave me in the newsletter, you see that. And I believe that he's speaking that direction. All right, praise God. Welcome to the program. Amen. Glad to see some of you in the chat room. A number of you listening by telephone tonight. Good to see you all there. And we appreciate each listener and love you and thank God for you. And I pray for the listeners to this program. And thank you for listening. And thank you those who do support with your prayers and your finances. Appreciate that as well very much. And the Lord bless you for it. All right, we're going to open up in some prayer tonight. There's a lot of things going on. And we need to be wise as servants, gentle as doves, the scripture says. And I believe the word of God. How about you? I tell you what, the word of God is going to stand strong in this hour and every hour till Jesus comes. And he is not going to fail his people. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Amen. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your presence tonight. We thank you for the blood of Jesus tonight that cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness, that we stand clean before our Lord tonight because of the blood. I thank you, Lord, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I thank you that we're living in the grace of God, not under the old covenant. I thank you that we have a better covenant, the covenant of grace, the covenant of God's blood, been given freely for us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that because of the blood we stand, because of the blood we're cleansed, and because of the blood we have authority as a priest to use it too, and that's an awesome thing. So praise God that we're kings and priests, and that we can use the precious blood, and we can walk as a king in the earth because we're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah, he's the king of all kings. He's the king of us. But he also told us that we're kings also, but we're not him, right? So thank you, Jesus, for making us kings and priests, Father. Thank you for a heavenly anointing on us. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, Father, and the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you that we're living in a very interesting time, Lord, but you put us here for such a time as this, Lord, and we're here to do what you call us to do at this time, to intercede, to do spiritual warfare, to fight the good fight of faith and to stand. Having done all, we're going to stand and keep standing against the powers of the wicked one. And we declare that the defeat of the enemy because of what Jesus did on the cross. He made a public show over Satan, triumphing over him in it. And we thank you for that, Lord, that you did that. Now you did it so that we can walk in that full authority, Lord, that the enemy is subject to us. The spirits are subject to us now. Because of you giving us that authority and winning that back for Adam, for the race of humans. Lord, we thank you that every believer can walk that way if they choose to. And we appreciate it so much, Lord. We appreciate the authority over the enemy. And we know that the enemy is doing his best to try to hurt Christians and attack Christians, but we're hurting him. We're doing him a whole bunch of heaven full of hurt on him because he is defeated. And we apply the blood against him right now in Jesus' name and bind and break his strength in Jesus' name. We break his power over us and over the work that he would have each one of us to do, Father, in this time that we're living in, Lord. We know that you're a good God, Father, and you love us and you want us well, Father. And we're going to talk about that tonight, Father. Pray your anointing on the message, Father, that you just open up the ears of our understanding and give us revelation and understanding about these things, Father. Thank you for speaking through me by your Spirit, Father. Thank you for the fresh oil, fresh anointing, Father, right now for that. And I praise you and worship you tonight, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would just minister to families out there who have lost ones in the family or those who have gone wayward, Father. We pray that they will return to you, Father. Pray they'll be convicted, Father. We pray for conviction on those that claim to be Christian but are living in sin right now in one form or another, Father. I pray conviction on them, Father. I pray they will come out of their deception and justification of their sin and trying to make it okay when it's not okay and trying to think that God is okay with it when he's not okay with sin. And, Father, I pray that, Lord, you would convict them, Father, and get them right with you again, Father. Restore them in Jesus' name and open up the eyes of their understanding to see their waywardness, Father, that they have drifted from the Lord. And that self-deception, Lord, we pray that'll be exposed in them and they'll not live in self-deception all these days, Father, that, Lord, that will be opened up and they will realize they have been deceived by the wicked one, Father, in Jesus' name. And they will cry out for your freedom, cry out for salvation, cry out for deliverance, cry out for restoration, Father. We thank you for doing that in the wayward one, Lord. And Lord, I pray for those that are having difficulties with their children today, Father, that they're having problems with children that are doing things that they can't seem to get dealt with, Father. We pray for those that have children that are demonized and they don't know how to get rid of these demons in their children and grandchildren. Father, we pray for them, Lord, and great-grandchildren for some, yeah. And, Lord, we pray for them that they would come to a place of deliverance, Father, that they would get these young ones delivered, Father, and that these young ones would come out of the bondage in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I praise you. In Jesus' name. Lord, bless every listener now as we go into this word, Father. We thank you for the word in Jesus' name. We cover the broadcast with the blood of Jesus. Loose the mighty angels of God to take care of things in Jesus' name while we're doing the broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody say amen. Say hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to talk about something that a lot of people have a lot of misunderstanding about, and that is definitely working right now against a lot of people, because a lot of people are dealing with sicknesses in their body. So the enemy is using sickness and disease to tear them up, mess them up, and just cut their lives short and give them all kinds of bondages. And we just rebuke that spirit right now. But in Jesus' name, we're not going to put up with it. You know, Jesus wants to give us a gift too, you know, and he has given us a gift. In fact, many gifts. Right? Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. And he's already given many gifts. Right? So I want to share with you today on a much misunderstood subject. You know, how many of you enjoy being sick? Would you like to just be sick all the time? Would you want to go to work and go to church, take care of your family, all these different things, shop and all this while you're sick? No. When you feel bad or miserable or weak and sickly, you don't feel like doing anything, do you? No. Would you want to do all that while you're feeling that way? No, you don't. You don't want to do much of anything. You know, God wants his people well. He wants them healed. He wants them healthy. He wants them delivered. And if I could give you, you know, a gift through the Holy Spirit, well, this would be, you know, my gift, knowledge of God's word, right? And that's what I've been doing, is sharing God's word with you all these years on the radio, on the Blog Talk Radio program here, and in this radio church service, is really what we just have in here together in fellowship one with another to some degree here. But, you know, he said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So knowledge, I pray in Jesus' name, gets released by the Spirit here tonight. So you know, a lot of Christians have been, you know, ongoingly sick. And maybe some of you're feeling you have something in your body going on right now that's been an ongoing sickness in your body. And maybe you besought the Lord about it even. And, you know, lots of have died unnecessarily in this area of discussion here. And everybody should be believing, you know, and as a Christian, most everyone believes that, not all of them, but, I mean, everyone believes God can heal, right? Or a majority does. But here's the big one. Is it God's will to heal everyone, every believer, that is, every time? And, boy, I know there's a lot of people that justify things on this, but, you know, and try to justify this, and, you know, have excuses for this and excuses for that. But, you know, when someone says it's always God's will to heal, people get mad, right? They say things like, well, what about so-and-so, man? They really love God. They're not healed. And what about so-and-so? They died. What about... Yeah, and they just go on with all this stuff, right? But what does the Word of God say? You know, Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. 53:4-5. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Okay? We are healed. And say we might be healed. We are healed. Hey, if healing just came, though, no Christian in his right mind would refuse it, right? If it just came, well, here's healing today. It's all being handed out. Everybody take it. Right? But many Christians would never take the stand that God always wants them well and wants to heal them. Now, I believe that personally. I believe God always wants to heal them and always will, you know. But there are reasons that people don't get healed, and we'll talk about that too. But that's my thought on it, because then, you know, what did Jesus do? We'll talk about that too when he was here, right? But see, for that to happen, that would put them in a position of responsibility. If they believe that, said that, that is not politically or religiously correct in our society today, right? Today, people don't want to take responsibility for their own actions. Well, there's always somebody else to blame. I'm going to blame it's my mother's fault. It's my grandmother's fault. It's my dad's fault. It's my grandpa's fault. It's Aunt Susie's fault. No, so no one has to bear it. It's my boss's fault. It's the government's fault. It's so-and-so's fault. It's that minister over there's fault. There's always somebody else to blame. See, so no one has to bear any dealings with or conviction for their actions today. And, hey, Jesus will still convict people, but how many know a lot of people are rejecting conviction by the Holy Spirit? They're not listening. They're pushing it away and justifying a lot of things in their life that they should be justifying, but they should be getting rid of. Get delivered from, get healed from, and changing should be taking place, okay? And I see it all the time in marriage counseling. The husband blames the wife, and the wife, the husband, or the kids, or someone else, in-laws, parents, friends, job, money, situation, whatever. There's always somebody or something to blame. You know, alcoholism is now a disease. Homosexuality is genetically determined now, right? I was born a homosexual. No. That's just another demon and another sin. The Bible says it's an abomination to God. He's not going to make you be born a homosexual. Yeah, you might be born with those spirits. You might have inherited some. There might have been homosexuality in your family line, lesbianism in your family line. And you just picked up that devil because it was already there. The sins of the father go to the children, to the third and fourth generation, right? I mean, remember that scripture. So, yeah. All our ills can be blamed on society or a messed up family or the way things have gone in our lives and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we've willingly become victims of people or the past or circumstances and situations, rather than accept the responsibility for any of our actions or any choices which might have hurt our fragile self-esteem and ego, right? It's someone else's fault, right? Yeah, somebody else's fault. Always. Never mind. Oh, yeah, we need to go ahead and fess it up. Yeah, we the one And we, you know, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, right? It's me that needs to change, Lord. It's me that needs to be delivered from these demons. It's me that needs to be healed. And I'm sad to say it, but I tell you what, a lot of Christians are going to pharmakia when they ought to be going to Jesus and get delivered. That's right. They're taking mind drugs. They're taking up or down or sign, all kinds of mind-manipulating drugs. And that's not where we're supposed to go. We're supposed to go to the Lord. We're not to go to the pharmakia. We're not to go to sorcery. We're not to go running to the sorcerer, the dispenser of pharmakia, which pharmakia is sorcery. Not to go do that. And, you know, I understand penicillin. And I understand that sometimes people need some to take some of those things. They don't get healed, but we'll talk about this. But mind meds, really? Oh, yeah. Sad to say, some of the Christians are they're some of the worst in this area. They're full of excuses and criticism and blame for other people. And, man, I tell you, they are self-justifying their sins, right? And they say, well, don't judge me if you say something to them. Don't judge me. God's my judge. If they can. No. Rather than admit that, hey, I might possibly be missing it in an area and simply blame God, you know, that's what they do, simply blame God. Yeah. Or they blame the devil. Or they blame others for anything negative in their life. And some of us still need to grow up and say, man, I need to change. I'm the one who missed it. And it's nobody's fault but me. Yeah, me. And I see adults acting like children. I've seen them this week acting like children. And really trying to manipulate to get their way, to be in control, manipulation. Give me the chapter and verse for that. You know, that's a demon, the spirit of manipulation to get your way. That is a demon spirit that is in operation in you, just willingly giving it place. Why can't you give thanks to God, right? Why do you have to manipulate to get things, be in control and get things to go your way? Hey, just give it to Jesus. Give people to Jesus. You can't control people. You need to just give them to Jesus. I know it's sorrowful and sad to see them do the dumb things that they do sometimes, right? And we've all done some dumb things. I've done some dumb things in my lifetime. I said, my God, Lord, have mercy on me. Yeah, but you know, I've learned a lot over the years, too. I'm not doing as many dumb things as I used to do. I've matured and grown up into Christ in a lot of areas. But, man, some of it's a pretty hard road getting there. And, you know, the problem is you can tell people all day long. You can give them godly advice and you can share things with them. But, you know, a lot of people just have to learn the hard way, unfortunately, because they won't listen to godly advice and godly counsel and godly correction. And they have to learn it the hard way. And plus, they got to get the demons out, really. You know, the bottom line is the demons are influencing them very strongly in a lot of cases. And that's why we need to become seasoned warriors of the Lord, right? We need to just continue to war. And as we become a seasoned warrior over the years more and more, we will see results more and more. Amen? Amen, because God is true through his word. And so the same with sickness. You know, well, you're sick because of sin, because of this, that, or the other. Blah, blah, blah. And folks, there are always going to be situations where good Christians are not healed, though. But does that mean it wasn't God's will to heal them? I don't think so. But there's been, I've seen it happen. Many Christians that didn't get healed, they died. And I knew inside stories on a lot of them why they didn't get healed, too. But anyway, that's another story. But 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it shows that there is no doubt God's will is for everyone to be saved. All will come to repentance. That's what he's saying. I want all to come to repentance. That's his will. But how many know not everybody gets saved, do they? Right? That's right. So will there be people who are not saved? Duh, of course. Millions of them, even billions of them. Contrary to Hollywood and liberals and politicians, they think, yeah, everybody's going to heaven, right? But surely they don't really believe that. But they think that at times, and they propagate that lie. But everybody isn't going to heaven. Narrow is the road that leads to salvation, right? Few there be that find it. And the same with healing. Not everyone God wills to be healed will be healed. And not everyone God wills to be saved is going to be saved. God's not willing to any perish, but they're perishing every day, right? People going to hell every day, every minute of the day, people are dying. And that is so tragic. It just grieves me, sad to see all these people just busting hell wide open, you know, as the old saying goes, right? But same with God's blessing. God wants the blessing. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. But how many know that a lot of Christians aren't being that blessed? Right? How many know God's will is 3 John 2? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou must prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. See, that's God's will. But how many know not every believer is walking in God's will? Not every believer is prospering. Right? But God wills it. He already spoke it in his word. So for a variety of reasons, none of which are God's fault, by the way, not everyone who God desires to have salvation gets saved. And it's the same with healing. Not everyone who God desires to be healed gets healed, right? I mean, same with deliverance. Not every Christian gets delivered. How many know that for sure? Yet God made deliverance available to every believer, right? He's made it available, but I mean, know that, hey, a lot of people rejected it. A lot of people just call it heresy. Yeah, I don't have any demons. I got the blood. Well, yeah, you got the blood, all right. But your spirit, the spirit is clean. The Holy Spirit lives there. But your body and your soul are pretty filthy. Your flesh is in your soul. And Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Right? So, come on now. Your flesh is so messed up and your soul is so messed up and you're going to see psychiatrists. Come on, psychology is of the devil. I don't care, you know, how much you think it's so great. It is not of God. What are the roots of it? Have you studied the roots of psychology? It isn't based on scripture. You know, I'm not going to go lay on some psychiatrist's bench and take their little prescription mind meds I'm going to go to Jesus. I need that kind of help. I go to Jesus, right? But I don't need that kind of help because I'm blessed. You know, I have a sound mind. The Bible says God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. Now, you need to start declaring that over yourself. God, they give you a spirit of fear. And why are people on psychiatrist benches anyway? They got a spirit of fear in many cases, and anxiety, and they're stressed out, and they're not turning their cares over to Jesus. Jesus said, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. Now, what are you doing carrying that care when Jesus said, cast them on me, right? If Jesus said it, then why don't you believe him? We said that we're Christian, we're believers. I mean, what's the name for a Christian? You're a believer. Well, if you're a believer, then when are you going to start believing? When are we going to act like we're a Christian? And a true Christian, he believes. He's a believer. She's a believer. Let's believe what God said in his word. If he said, cast your cares on him, we don't need to go cast them on some psychiatrist's bench and lay up in their office there, you know? Huh? Come on now. You hear what I'm talking about. We need to run to the master and lay it down at him. You know, this COVID thing, so many Christians have been in anxiety and stress. So many people in the whole world have been in anxiety and stress. It's sad, but you know, it's just that people have not given this over to Jesus, and they're carrying loads they don't need to be carrying. And Christians are really good at that, trying to carry something that they don't have to carry. And it's hard on them. It's hard on them, okay? So when you give these things to Jesus, saints, we need to do that. Amen. And we don't need to let sympathy and personal experiences form our doctrine either. Okay? We need to reckon God's word to be true, and our own opinions, yes, even experiences, they could be wrong. They could be a lie. They could be a deception of the enemy. So we can't live off of that. We got to live off the word of God, what he said. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the unchanging truth is God's word. Look at Romans 3:4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. That's right. Let God be true, but every man can be a liar. I mean, men lie. Let's just say the people lie. Women lie. It's a lying world out there. They lie. The whole world lies in wickedness. And when they're lying, they're doing it out of the wickedness. And it lies in wickedness because it is Satan is the god of this world. Right? According to Scripture, Satan is the god of this world. There's no wonder it lies in wickedness, huh? Because he's also the father of lies. So let's see what the truth about healing is from God's word. See, the Bible says Jesus paid for our healing and our deliverance. Okay, on the cross, the same way he also paid for our sin. In the same way that God would never make us sick, he also would never, you know, he would never make us sin either. You know, he's not going to ever make you sin, is it? Is he? No, and he's never going to make you sick either, okay? And a lot of people, well, God put this on me to teach me something. Well, that's just another lie of the devil. That's a religious spirit lying to you. God didn't put that on you to teach you something. Where do you get that information from? Give me the chapter and verse for that. That is not in the New Covenant. That is not there. God doesn't put things on people to teach him something, some kind of sickness or disease or cancer. Come on. Where are you getting that stuff? Well, he doesn't make us sick. Never makes us sick. Get that settled in your mind. That sickness, if you're dealing with some sickness, it did come from God. He's not putting it on you to teach you something. Okay? Sickness and sin and demons are all covered in the work of the cross. See? Amen. In fact, deliverance is even called the children's bread, right? And the very word saved or salvation in the Greek means healing as well as forgiveness of sin as well as deliverance. They're synonymous. The Greek word is sozo, and it's translated made whole in reference to healing, deliverance, and salvation. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read another scripture, Matthew 9:22. Hallelujah. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. You know, healing is mentioned as a benefit of our salvation in the same sentence as forgiveness of sin in Psalms 103:3, remember that? Who forgiveth all our iniquity and healeth all our diseases? Who forgiveth, right? That's what Psalms 103:3. That's a powerful scripture right there. He forgiveth all our sin under, praise God, the blood of Jesus, right? Washes it all away. Hallelujah for that. Amen. Forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. But how come that's not happening to everybody? Because everybody's not believing the word of God. Everybody doesn't know the word of God. Every Christian doesn't know the word of God. Every Christian doesn't believe. Are you, right? As your faith is, be it unto you. Right? That's what the word says. Oh, yeah. That's what the word says. We're either going to believe the word of God, or we're going to believe that sickness or that lying symptom. The enemy many times try to come in with a demon symptom to try to get you whether you're going to buy into this or not. If you're going to buy into it, then you accept the symptom, and he'll put that sickness on you. But if you reject the symptom and call it a lie from Satan, and that God said by his stripes, I'm healed, and you're a demon, and I rebuke you, devil, get out of here in Jesus' name. You don't have to take that thing, okay? You don't have to take that thing. All right. Now, I'm not saying it always happens that way, but I say sometimes that's what he'll do. He'll go symptom hunting, you know. He'll go out hunting people who will take their symptoms. Yeah. And some people get so focused on that, oh, I'm dying. This is wrong with me now. And they start just buying right into it. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and chastisement the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. Amen. In the next verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. Amen. And he bore your iniquity. You don't have to bear it anymore. He bore that iniquity. He's forgiven you. He bore the penalty for your sin, too. That's right. Your sins are forgiven, and you don't have to be punished for them. Well, Christians are expecting bad things. They're expecting to get sick because they've messed up so bad in their life. When they do something wrong, they just expect something. Well, that's religious spirit superstition. That's absolutely a demon that's telling you that, because Jesus told us that he bore the penalty on his body for us, and that by his stripes we were healed. And we don't have to bear the penalty because he bore the penalty, right? We're under the new covenant, not the old covenant. They have to bear the penalty for their sin. Whatever they sow, they reap, you know, and things happen in their life. But that doesn't have to be the case with you. Amen? Because he bore the curse for you, that he that hangeth on the tree is cursed. He got cursed for you so that you don't have to live a cursed life, living under all these curses that the enemy put on you, the generational curses that come down to the family line. You don't have to. There's deliverance, there's healing, there's freedom, there's salvation. Amen. So what am I saying? I'm saying he wants to heal every believer all the time, period. Just as much as he wants to forgive every believer their sins all the time. And he wants to forgive the sins of the world, too. And he has forgiven the sins of the world, but not everybody's taken that forgiveness. And so they're living in their sin, and they will die in their sin because they reject the only way out of their sin, which was Jesus. Right? But he wants to heal. He wants to deliver. Amen. And in fact, just as much as he already has forgiven all sins, he has already healed all diseases. But you have to partake of that. If you don't partake of that, then you don't get your manifestation of healing in your life and in your body. Amen. You have to believe these things. Nothing in the Word of God can be had without you believing and receiving it. It has to be received. It has to be taken. The enemy doesn't want you to take anything that God has offered. He wants to keep it all from you. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? And keep it and block it and block you from the good things of the kingdom of God, the promises of God, the blessings of God, the healing of God, the deliverance of God, all these things. Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Amen. He bore your sicknesses. Amen. That's a New Testament commentary on an Old Testament scripture, and is definitely, without a doubt, talking about your sicknesses and mine, right? Jesus' name. Look at Jesus' life. This is another proof that it's God's will to heal everyone. There are 17 times where Jesus healed all the sick that were present. There are 47 other times in the gospel where Jesus healed one or two at a time. And there are no instances ever where Jesus refused to heal anybody, or where Jesus was sick, or where he put a sickness on anyone either. He doesn't put sicknesses on people, okay? He doesn't do it. Now, somebody might have an open door in their life, and the enemy has the right to put stuff on them. But, hey, Jesus didn't do it, right? A lot of Christians have open doors. They're fooling around with fornicating and adulterating and messing around with stuff that they have no business messing around with the occult. They have occult stuff in their home. They need to clean house. He did clean it up and get rid of the stuff in there. You know, they have abominations in their home, right? And they're keeping them the idols in there, the traditions of devils in their home. They're keeping the icons, religious icons, and things that they shouldn't even have in their home, right? Oh, yeah. That's right. People need a clean home. And they sometimes get attacked with sickness because of stuff they have in their home. Owls, frogs, and religious icons that just draw and attack spirits, and crucifixes, and sacred heart pictures of Jesus from Catholicism and all these things. I mean, there's so many different things we could talk about here. Valentine's Day is occultic, you know, in its roots. And I don't ever partake of Valentine's Day. It's the main cause of lupus, from what I understand from other deliverance ministers. And And there are other things, too, involved in that. And I don't really want to talk about it because children are listening, but it is an abomination. And the heart and the arrow talking about male and female sex organs. And, you know, here we go. I mean, we could talk deeper, but I'm not going to because, you know, that's one thing about, Alex Jones. He's got some demons. He needs deliverance. He gets foul with his tongue. And, man, that man, you wonder if he's even saved sometimes because of the foul mouth that he gets. And I don't listen to him all the time or anything, but I have listened to him, and he could get awful with his tongue. He needs deliverance, and he needs to get set free from these things. And if he's not saved, he needs to get saved. But, you know, he has children listening to broadcasts, and he's using such foul language sometimes. He needs to have a little more honor and respect for people in that respect, in my opinion. That's what I think. But anyway. Hallelujah. So, thank you, Jesus. Jesus is not the author of sickness. How could he be if he was always going about healing sick people? It would be a contradiction. That's right. There were no instances where Jesus refused to heal anyone or where Jesus was sick or where he put sickness on anybody. You need to remember that, because it was worth me repeating. Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. Let's read that one. Okay. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It didn't say some that were oppressed of the devil. It said healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen? Notice Jesus healed all, not some that were oppressed of the devil. Where's the oppression coming from? Where's the sickness coming from? The devil. Remember that scripture, that woman whom Satan had bound these, how many years was it? 18 years or however many years she was bound by Satan? The devil put that on that woman. God that put it on people. God that put sickness on you. That's a lie and a religious spirit. If you believe that, you need to get that spirit cast out. Amen? No. Because Jesus is the healer. The devil is the author of, he's the one. Satan bound them all these 18 years. Satan bound them, however many years it was that woman was. And they were oppressed of who? God? No, the devil is the oppressor. Again, God's will is given in 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things, right? That thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers, even as you grow in grace. In other words, because if you don't grow in grace, you're not going to know the truth. It's the truth. When you know the truth, then there's liberation, there's freedom, there's liberty. Amen. The glorious liberty of the sons and daughters of God, right? And yet it doesn't just come to pass automatically because it's God's will. Things don't just happen just because they're God's will. How many times have you just been walking down the street and just suddenly you're zapped with deliverance? And, oh, I got all these demons. I didn't even ask for it, but I got delivered from 10 demons just walking down the street. Or you were walking down the street one day or driving your car, suddenly you're healed of all diseases suddenly for no reason. No, it doesn't just come to pass automatically because it's God's will. You have to receive it. You have to take it, what's yours. You have to go in and possess it, appropriate it. Believe it. Take it for yourself. Act like it's so. Yeah, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Whoa, that power is working in you. And he's able to do it, but you have to receive it, see? We have to believe it. We have to appropriate what's ours. And the first step is this. You have to know it's God's will to heal everyone every time, or else the devil is going to convince you that you're one of the exceptions, right? And you just have to be sick, right? And you'll just have to justify them staying sick, right? And demonized or whatever. You say, it's God's will. Must be God's will for me. I'm an exception. No. No, you need to say it's God's will to heal me always, all the time, every time. If I get sick, it's God's will. And the best thing is just walk in health all the time. Don't get sick, right? Amen. Walk in divine health. That's the best thing. But if you do get sick, you know that it's his will to heal you. you know it's his will to heal you. Okay? Amen. Every one of you can and should lay hands on sick people too and see them healed. The Bible's in Mark chapter 16. What does it say? You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall cast out demons in my name. See, they're both there written together there. Amen. Healing the sick and casting out demons, they go together many times. You can't get the healing until you cast out the devil sometimes. That's what we found in our ministry over the years. But he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Right? That's what it says. You believe that? They shall take up serpents, or take out serpents, what it means. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These signs will follow the believers, those that believe, right? These signs will follow them that believe. If you don't believe this stuff, you're not going to have any of these signs following your life. It's very clear that it says these signs follow them that believe. So if you don't believe it, it's not going to work. Okay? The whole kingdom of God works by faith. The just shall live by what? Fear? Unbelief? No, by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Everything that comes to us, deliverance is by faith. A lot of Christians I've ministered to over the years, they didn't believe they were going to get deliverance. And they didn't get much deliverance. See? Remember Jesus said he couldn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. See, when there's that unbelief operating, they're not going to get very delivered. They're not going to get very healed, you know? He just healed a few sick folks there because they didn't believe. There was unbelief there working. See? So the whole thing, the whole key to everything that God has for you is believing it, expecting. And taking what's yours, see? The casting out of demons, the healing of the sick got Jesus most of his attention. And they will still bring attention to Jesus, right? And they'll bring attention. Sometimes they'll bring the wrong kind of attention. They'll bring persecution. When Jesus sent them out two by two, though, this is what he told them in Luke 10:9. What did he tell them? Let's read it here real quick here. Luke 10:9. Live here and heal the sick that are therein and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come unto you. It's come nigh unto you. See? So when the kingdom of God shows up, there's healing. Right? Well, where's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is in us. We need to see the healing. Amen? In his great commission to the church, he said, among other things, lay hands on the sick. Right? As we just read in Mark 16. See, the healing ministry is the gospel in action. In the book of Acts, they had mass healing services and prayed individually for the sick. We should do the same. We should do the same. Look at Acts 5. I mean, we could go into a lot of scriptures tonight because there's so many on this, but I don't have time to go to all of them, but Acts 5, 15. Oh, hallelujah. No, Acts 5. Yeah, and here we are. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There also came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. See, they were not, you know, healed and deliverance as well. So they were delivered and healed, right? And look, it was just Jesus. See, here's Peter. They just wanted shadow to pass over. That's where their faith was. They just wanted Peter's shadow to pass over, and they believed they were going to be healed, and they were. People were healed just from his shadow coming over them. See, because that's what they believed. See, and they got what they believed. And notice that them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. How many people are vexed today? You mean vexed with fear today? That's it. You're living in the vexation, which is a manifestation of a demon, see? And the demons will get their way with you. And you shouldn't give the demon away. You got to give Jesus his way. His way, he said he's giving you a sound mind, not fear. Power, love, sound mind. Power, love, and sound mind. These are opposite of walking around in fear all the time and stressed out about life, stressed out about a nation, stressed out about the world. The world is definitely going to hell. But we aren't. Amen? And we're shining brighter and brighter, the Bible says, until that full day of his return. We're going to shine brighter and brighter. Praise God. Praise God. And so There also rose fierce opposition. And anytime there's signs and wonders, healing, deliverance, opposition will rise up. Don't let that stop you, though. Right? Verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, right? They were sad, you see, right? And were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Yeah, why? Because of casting out devils and healing the sick. That's right. Casting out devil, healing the sick, got them put in prison. But it's the will of God to heal the sick and cast out devils till Jesus comes. So why would we not be a partaker of that? Why would we not be involved in that? Jesus spent almost two-thirds of his time healing the sick and casting out devils. And that's what he's still doing that today through us. Amen. Through those who will believe. And not many Christians believe in that. And they're walking around miserable and sick and demonized and demons controlling their lives and ate up with lust, ate up with greed and unforgiveness and bitterness in their life and all kind of carnality just ruling and reigning over them. See? Luke 9:1-2. I'll just read another few here. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. I mean, notice what this just said here. He gave them power and authority over how many devils? Just one or two? No. He said all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Hallelujah. You think he hasn't done that for us, his disciples, today? Huh? He gave us authority and power over all devils, too, and to heal and cure diseases. He gave us that. So you need to settle the question. Does God want to heal all? Is it his will? Yeah. Does he want to deliver everybody? Yeah, he wants to deliver every Christian. But not every Christian will receive it, see? Not every Christian can believe deliverance because they just won't. They have religious demons that keep them from believing, or they have exalted their devils, so the devils are bigger than God, right? But we need to realize just that salvation is for all, healing is for all, deliverance is for all. But do all get saved? No. Do all get healed? No. Do all get delivered? No. But that doesn't change the will of God. So many different factors are involved, see? Faith is so much needed to receive the things of God, right? The Bible tells us faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. Yeah, I didn't quote exactly right, but yeah, that's in Hebrews 11, so 11:1. But the ministry of healing is one that requires strong faith. It requires sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and special wisdom. And in many cases, it's best to give some teaching before ministering because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? So, yeah, they need to teach on the things and then people are ready to receive healing, ready to be delivered. Yeah. Amen. So much of healing, it depends on faith. Jesus said, as your faith is, be it unto you, right? Not all healings are instant either. It said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That implies sometimes a gradual healing, but it's still a healing, right? Still a healing. Just because it was gradual doesn't mean it isn't a healing. Amen? Can a person lose their healing or give up their healing? Yes, they can. Peter walked on water, and that was a miracle. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked on circumstances and conditions around him, what happened? He began to sink. And, you know, there are people that get healed and believe God, but then they start listening to unbelief. They start listening to people talk about sickness. And I mean, no, you don't have to listen long to hear people talk about, oh, this is happening to so-and-so. Oh, so-and-so is sick with this. So-and-so is sick with that. You got to battle that all the time because the enemy is using those words to try to tempt you to receive sickness just like so-and-so. Well, so-and-so, 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 you know, and Uncle Jimmy and this, and Aunt Susie and all this stuff, you know. They're all suffering. Oh, so-and-so died of this. So-and-so died of that. They, you know, yeah, okay, right? That is true, you know, and a lot of people are doing dumb things that are killing them, too. They're not studying things. They're just doing stuff that is deadly to their body, and no wonder they get sick and dying, right? But still doesn't mean that Jesus can't heal them. It's not his will to heal them, right? But yeah, Peter walked on water, but he began to sink because he got his eyes off of Jesus. How many times do we get our eyes off of Jesus on the symptoms, on the circumstances, on the situations, on the people's talk? Yeah, so much talk going on, and half that talk is nothing but demons. Half or more, I said more than half, talk is just demons. Talking, you know, people are saying what the demons influence them to say. We got to recognize it. We got to have discernment to recognize what people are saying, and we don't just be taken and overtaken by the words that people are saying and fall into the trap. Amen. That's right. So with those who get their eyes off the Lord and begin to look at symptoms and listen to unbelief, they may have all kinds of problems, right? They may have a reoccur. That cancer may come back. It may get that disease back upon them, or that demon will come back. You start getting over there in the devil's park, playing around over in there. There's going to be demons there waiting for you. They brought you in there. You yielded to their enticements, and guess what? You don't go to hanging out at some X-rated store somewhere and think that you're not going to fall into the trap of demons, because they're waiting in the store for you to come in there. They're the ones that entice you to come in. They're outside hanging around. When you drive by that place, oh, you ought to go in there and get you some corn, or you ought to go in there and look at those movies or whatever. You know, hey, that's an enticement. And there's an enticement to sickness just like there is to sin. We got to be on guard, saints. God's best is divine health, a healthy life without sickness. That's God's best. But then it's still his will to heal you if you're sick. And we need to teach people this stuff. Health should be the normal experience of every Christian. This was God's plan for the believers of the Old Testament, it said, even. Right? Go to Exodus. Look at verse 23:25. It was his plan in the Old Testament. But they didn't all walk that way, but they did a lot. 23:25-26 says here, "And we shall serve the Lord your God, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren." In other words, no miscarriages in the land, and the number of thy days I will fulfill. In other words, with a long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Amen. I claim that scripture all the time. I believe that scripture. With a long life he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. And I claim it with a long and healthy life, because there's other scriptures that go along with that. See? Amen. Amen. Can this be for you? Yes. Sickness should be the exception in our lives, not the rule. And yet it's the rule in so many of our lives. So many of our lives, we just deal with some kind of ailment all the time. And yeah, I'm going to tell you something. The devil's in the food industry. The devil's in the medical industry, okay? He's in every industry there is. He's in the food. There's preservatives. There's things in there. He is just trying his best to get you sick. He's trying his best to kill you through sweets and sugar, white sugar, and junk food, right? He's trying his best to kill you with these vegetable oils. These junk oils that people just feed on. He's trying his best to get you sick. But any way he can. We should all read Psalms 91 over and over till it becomes a part of us, till it just comes alive on the inside of us. See, that's what we need scripture to do. We need to meditate it on scripture day and night until it comes alive. That me and, you know, you and your house shall be saved. If you've got lost loved ones, think on that scripture. Think on that scripture. You and your house shall be saved until they just manifest and they get saved. How long is it going to take? Well, you know, I don't know. I prayed 10 years and believed God 10 years, and my mother did get saved after those 10 years of prayer. She did. And how long is it going to take? Well, I could pray more than about a day on anything. You know, I just give up. But, hey, wait a minute. By faith and patience, the Bible says, you inherit the promises of God. Okay? Yeah. God's best is living in divine health. But just as it says in 3 John 2, but also in 1 John, it says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If we get sick, we have a healer. Jesus is our healer. Okay? As well as our sin offering. Remember, It says his body was marred so badly on the cross in Isaiah. Why? Because he bore our sicknesses and disease. It says it was marred so badly, it was hard to look upon. It was so marred. And yet we need to believe and accept that this, just as we accepted our salvation, the same thing, you know. How do we get saved? We got saved by faith, believing. And how do we make the walk after we get saved? We walk by faith. So we just continue on believing the whole lifetime. Okay? Right? It says his body was marred, so he bore our sicknesses and diseases. And we ought to believe that. And, yeah, we should take care of our bodies as well. Don't be stupid about our bodies. We need to take care of our bodies as well as possible. But ultimately, it is our faith and trust in Jesus and the Word and God in his keeping and healing power that's going to bring us through, that's going to cause us to stay in health. And if you lose your health, all the prosperity in the world is worthless, right? I mean, listen. So Satan is after, you know, he's after your health. He's after your health, okay? When you're sick, you're bound, you can't do God's work, it's hard, you know, because you're just feeling bad all the time. It's ongoing spiritual warfare, see? Because, again, the food industry, the medical industry, loaded with devils, loaded with evil spirits, folks. Spirits of death, sickness, lies, deception, coercion, trickery, treachery, all kinds of garbage in that world. And we are at war to maintain our health. We're at war to continue to get deliverance and get free from these things. The whole world that lies in wickedness is out to steal, kill, and destroy your life. See? They want to take your health away from you. They want to take your wealth away from you. They want to take your peace away from you. They want to take your joy away from you. It's all aimed at the believer, because Satan hates you more than anybody else on the face of the earth. He hates the believer because we believe in God. We're walking with Jesus, see? And he hates God, see? And so many believe everything, the food industry and the medical industry, everything they tell them. Oh, yeah. And they're nothing but a money-making industry, right? Yeah. There's just the money. And this COVID thing has really showed us that. Boy, they got more money for anybody that died of COVID. So COVID was the cause of everybody's death, right? So they get more money. And they got, who was it that the other day told them that I want to give you this? And they said, we're not taking that, or something like that. And they said, well, and the doctor told them, hey, if you don't take this, I don't get paid. Yeah. So where is that man at that would tell somebody something like that? Where is the compassion? The Bible said the love of many will grow cold, will wax cold in the last days. Where is the compassion? Where is the love? Where is the day of the old country doctor trying to help somebody and care for somebody who really cared and going and doing this stuff even in no charge? Oh, no, but money, man. Money. Mammon gets a hold of people, and they get controlled by these demons of mammon. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're extreme, Pastor Kyle. Well, yeah. Well, the Word of God, if you really follow the Word of God, that's extreme. All right, to this carnal, natural, unsaved, lost, and dying world that we live in. If you really go by the Word of God, it is extreme. I tell you what, my mentor, one of my mentors, he wouldn't even go to the doctor ever. He wouldn't even go to a dentist. He just believed God. And I go to dentists. I mean, I get my teeth clean and stuff. But this guy, he wouldn't even go to a dentist. And he was a great man of God. And he walked that way. He believed it. And he walked that way. He truly was a good example for my life. And he told me. He said, you really think you could travel with me? You know? Yeah, I don't think he didn't think that, you know, we'd keep up with him. But, yeah, I did. Travel with him did do that once. But anyway, that's another story I won't get into. But hey, you don't believe everything that the food and the medical industry tells you, that they're a money-making industry. And it's full of demons and lies. And you got to learn to discern in all things, or the enemy will get through your defenses, right? And so many Christians have a little or no defenses to these lies and attacks of the enemy, because they just believe whatever they're told for so long, see? We're going to have to get awakened here. He's passed on. That man is dead right now, but he's with the Lord. My mentor, he died many years ago. Probably you wouldn't even know him, but anyway. He was a great man of God. And rather than, I don't know if I should name him or not, but I'll think about that one. But anyway, so many are dying prematurely. It says you'll take the devil's jab, the demon jab, and submit to all kinds of pharmakia and sorcery. What are they doing? Why are they doing that? What is going on? What is happening today? I tell you, the enemy has deceived so many, and that's the sign of the last days, see? You know, but to live in integrity and faith and victory, we're going to have to learn a life that is higher than the circumstances around it, because circumstances come all the time and change all the time. Circumstances could be temptation. Circumstances and situations are temptations in many cases. And we have to realize that we are not to be ruled by the circumstances. We're to be ruled by the Lord God and his word, right? Because circumstances and situations, yeah, it can be something else, right? We've all faced them. And we need to have revelation knowledge about these things. Otherwise, we're going to fall into the traps of the enemy. Many times we're going to fall into the traps of the enemy. And we have by circumstances that he created. He called that our life would come into these things. And we would be deceived and we would fall into something. And we need to remember Romans 6:11, that we reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let not sin therefore reign. Let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Oh, my, I have little time left here, but I want to talk a little bit about this ruling by lust. To implement a lifestyle of integrity and victory, you're going to have to learn to reckon your body as dead to sin. Because I tell you what, lust will rule you if you don't dominate over lust through the power of the Spirit of God. And a lot of Christians are being ruled by their lust. And it ain't just sexual lust, I'm telling you. There are various forms of lust. You know, the lust of this world, the lust for the things of this world, and the sexual lust as well, of course. Some people are living around in a fantasy. They got the, all kind of fantasies going on in their mind about, oh, some great man is going to come and sweep these women off their feet or something, or they're just lusting after some man. And, you know, fantasy lust is a spirit. Romance novels are written to get to arouse you sexually and to tempt you. You need to be wise about what you're putting in your mind. Okay, lady, I'm telling you. Colossians 3:5, mortify or kill therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. See? We've got to guard against those things. See? He tells us to put to death our members. What are your members? Members are parts of your body. Now, obviously, God's not telling you to kill your arm, your head, or your leg. You die. But, for instance, fornication, it is not a member, but it takes a member of your body to commit fornication, doesn't it? So what Scripture is telling us to do is to put that desire to fornicate to death. By considering that member which it takes to commit fornication as dead. I mean, think, if your sex organs were dead, you would not have a problem with fornicating or adultery, would you? Or masturbation or pornography or all kinds of things like that that get involved there. In fact, the opposite sex wouldn't want you because your sex organs were dead. They couldn't function, right? And if you were to visit the local cemetery, you would not find a bunch of dead people around there committing fornication and adultery, would you? So if you were to act as if or reckon your sexual organs dead except to your mate alone, would you be committing fornication? No. If you'd hold on to your, you know, cleanness sexually until you got married instead of just burning with lust or giving in to the fantasies of, oh, if I have sex, he'll love me, you know, and I'll feel that he really loves me. And if I don't give him that, you know, he say maybe he won't love me, and I better give. No, that's all lies of the devil. That's all demon manipulation to tempt you, see? So God tells us to do this. So it's our key to victory. He says, don't be fornicating. Flee fornication. It says, run from fornication, the scripture says. Don't run to it like so many people do in the church. They're running to fornicate. But no, the Bible says to flee fornication. They're running to masturbate. They're running to do unclean sexual things. But no, God says flee fornication. So it doesn't matter how you feel, you know. You do it. You act dead to it. You consider that member dead until you meet your mate and get married, right? What about covetousness? How do you put that to death? Well, what leads you to covet? Your eyes, your mind? It starts with what you see. Oh, so-and-so has this. I want that. Yeah. Achan, he confessed that he saw the accursed thing. And what happened? He coveted and took them, and Israel lost in the battle, right? See, if you bring the unclean thing into your camp, you know, you're going to lose some battles, see? God wants you to win at spiritual warfare, not to bring a bunch of pollution into your life and lose in spiritual warfare. And the whole Israel suffered because of Achan bringing the unclean thing, the accursed object, into his tent. He coveted them. He took them. If he'd have been blind, he never would have seen those things. If he would have said, my eyes will not look upon those things. I'm dead to that. You know, he would have seen and coveted those things, right? The same thing happened today. A lot of people are in trouble financially because of all the buying of the things that they saw with the eyes and lusted upon with the mind. As soon as they see something, they start thinking about it. I want that. I want that. And then the adrenaline starts flowing, and they're good as sold on it. Look at car salesmen. Now, they're slick, man. Oh, yeah, they take on. I've had them tell me that they take on different personalities when they're selling cars. Right? Use, and they have yielded to salesmen. They yield to that spirit. It puts on a failing spirit that seduces people to buy. Yeah, buying that demon when you go out shopping and not yield to it when they start trying to manipulate you into buying and spending your money. Because they just care about the commission. They want to get money. I mean, not all of them maybe, but most. Blind, I mean, that's their life. That's how they pay their bills, you know? So, anyway, trapped by what they saw, charging it up on the credit card, people going over their head in credit, buying stuff that they don't need, then having a garage sale and selling it all. What's up with that? Anyway, it wouldn't matter how many models they came out with. You wouldn't know the difference if you were dead to it, right? So what do? You put that member, your eyes, the lust of the eyes, the lust of other things to death by acting as if you were blind to it. You have to act as if you do not see some of these things that you know you'd want if you stop to look at them, right? Stop the lust up for them or stop to desire them. See? If you do this, you'll stay out of trouble. You don't look at that stuff on the internet, see? It'll seduce you. You don't read a lot of stuff because it'll seduce you, see? You don't look at a lot of things because they're going to seduce you. You got to be dead to it. You're dead to this world. We're alive to Christ. Amen? Amen. If you do this, you stay out of trouble. Otherwise, you know, first the thoughts will come, and then the passion, and then the act. 1, 2, 3, here you go. You're in sin now, and you're picking up devils, right? Many times. But you need to realize your body will always crave things. Right? Hell, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, right? He's going to crave stuff. And you could see this with a man. I could get this with my credit card, you know? But you could see it with credit cards, too, because most people with credit cards don't realize that their credit cards actually have them instead of them having the card, right? Oh, yeah, they're in debt. They're in bondage because of their card. And just because your body is craving something doesn't mean you give it what it wants, right? Just because your eyes are seeing something doesn't mean you have to go buy it, see, because you just die to that thing. Everything it wants is not good for it, okay? Now, you might be craving, you know, another cookie, but you've already had 20 cookies. You think you should have another cookie? You think you should be eating all that white sugar anyway in the first place if you're going to walk in the glory of God and the health of God? Take care of the temple of God? You think you should just be loading yourself up with pop every day? a six pack of pop a day. I've known people drink a six pack of pop every day. Yeah, I know the people that have suffered from doing that. Yeah, it's not a good for the body, right? Paul says, I bring my body under subjection lest I become a castaway, right? We got to guard the body. We got to die to a lot of things if we're going to walk in victory and health and deliverance. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me just read this one last scripture here, and we're just going to close this up because we've run out of time pretty much here. I could go on and on, but this is good stuff. Amen? Amen. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead to sin is freed from sin. See, we're going to have to die. See? Then we can live. Oh, but Pastor, I've been told this stuff. It just feels right. I just love them. Well, just because you feel like doing something, that doesn't make it right. Just because you're feeling. Feelings don't validate actions, do they? Oh, but yeah, I just feel like I got to do this. I just have to have this. I just have to have her or him. Yeah, okay, that gets you in trouble. You got to die to that. And if it's the will of God, he'll bring it to pass. But if it's something that if you want somebody, then wait and marry him and do it right. Quit hopping in and out and fornicating and shacking up and doing stuff that, you know, is nothing but going to bring demons into your life. Just because sex feels good doesn't make fornicating and adulterating right, does it? Just because you feel like punching somebody out doesn't make it right to punch somebody out just because you feel like it. Dead people do not have uncontrollable cravings. You just see, you don't go to a cemetery and see dead people up fighting with one another, flapping each other around in the cemetery, do you? No, you don't. Dead people don't have those uncontrollable cravings. Dead people don't go out and commit murder. They don't go out and have sex and run around and do all kinds of drugs and alcohol and stuff. And hey, dead people don't do that. They don't have their feelings hurt all the time, blaming so-and-so for their life problem and stuff like that. So if you're dead to your feelings of offense, you're not going to end up offended all the time with somebody and make a, you know, a bad situation worse by acting ugly and acting the victim. Hey, recognize that whatever has you climbing the walls is able to do so by appealing to at least one of your senses, your five senses, right? Oh, yeah, what you see, hear, taste, smell, or touch, or feel, they get to you. The enemy gets to you. They work on those five senses. They work on you. So, yeah, if you were to reckon yourself dead, then your senses could be used against you, right, by the demon that is tempting you. See, this is one way that you can fortify yourself against sin, folks. And I'm running out of time here, but I can't continue on. But listen, you need to fortify yourself against sin. You need to reckon your members dead. You need to call things that are not as though they are. You need to be walking in faith and healing and health every day of your life. You need to call, hey, what if I get sick? Well, yeah, I've been sick, and I still calling myself healed during that time. I still was adhering to the word of God. I might have felt horrible, and still I'm here adhering to the word, calling it out, speaking it out, believing God, still reading my Bible, still walking by faith. Even in the midst of horrible stuff. Amen. Amen. And I've been healed and I've gotten well. Sometimes it takes a little while. Other times it was instantaneous. And I've prayed for sick people that have gotten healed, sometimes instantaneously. Sometimes it took a little while. But it's happened. And I've prayed for many sick people over the years. And the Bible says, call for the elders of the church and let them anoint you with oil. I'm sorry, not L. But oil, and let them anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith shall raise up the sick, right? Amen. See, I believe that. God didn't put in his word for no reason. You think it's just there for somebody just to look at and read and say, oh, that's nice, wish that would work. No, it really does work. It really is true. But you have to believe it's true. You have to live in expectation of the truth becoming your reality, see? You have to live as if it is so. Because it is so, but you got to live like it's so, because otherwise you really probably don't even believe it, see? Because if you don't live like something's true, then probably not true for you, and therefore you're not going to get the benefits of it, will you? Because you don't believe it. See? Faith worketh by love, right? And where is the love? The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. So if we want our faith to work, we need to be aware of the love of God that is in us and begin to let that love rule in our life, and faith worketh by love. Ooh, yeah, because that love is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit that's living in my spirit. See, he's living in my spirit. Heart can be synonymous with the word spirit, but it also can be a part of you that is not the spirit as well, which is attached to the soul. The heart is the entryway from the soul. It connects the soul and the spirit together, see. And therefore, there can be some wicked things in a person's heart, right? And yet not in their spirit, see. Just explaining that so you understand. But anyway, praise God, I'm going to stop here. Father, thank you so much for all these truths, Lord, of this precious word of God, Lord. Thank you for healing each and every one that will believe, Lord, that's listening to this broadcast tonight, Lord, the areas of their life that the enemy has prevailed against them, and we rebuke the enemy in their life of sickness and disease, and we're going to deal more with that in deliverance in a minute. But Father, we rebuke the enemy of sickness. We rebuke sickness in people's bodies, and we declare the word of God over their bodies right now. By the stripes of Jesus, they are healed. By the stripes of Jesus, they are healed. In Jesus' name, we release the healing power of God right out there and right now. Put your hand on your body, whatever is going on in your body, wherever you're sick, wherever you're being attacked by the enemy. Put your hand there in the name of Jesus right now. As they lay their hands on their body, we speak healing into that body right now. We speak health and wholeness right now in Jesus' name. And we cover that area of their body with the blood of Jesus. The Bible said the life is in the blood. So we apply the blood of Jesus over that sickness and infirmity right now and put the life in there instead of death. We put life into their body. We put life into that disease, into that attack on their body, into the lying symptom in Jesus' name, and we run it off in Jesus' name. We command the sickness and disease to go in the name of Jesus. Get out of the body, out of the body, out of the body. In the name of Jesus, be healed, be whole. In Jesus' name, be healthy. In Jesus' name. And we command those sickness spirits to go in the name of Jesus, which we will do more of that in a minute after we take this little intermission. But Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for healing. We thank you that you said we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And Lord, I prayed for the sick as they laid hands on themselves. I pray and believe, Father, that they are healed in Jesus' name. And I thank you that they are healed in Jesus' name. I thank you that their body is whole. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your miracle working power being released here to those that believe. Let them see the goodness of God in the land of the living, in their bodies, their physical bodies right now. In Jesus' name, thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I give you glory, praise, and honor that you are the healer. You said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you for your delivering power, Lord. As we go into deliverance here in just a moment, Lord, we thank you that we can experience the delivering power of Jesus right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. We glorify your name, that you are God. You are Almighty One. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Master of our lives, Father. You are the healer. You are the deliverer. You're the one that we honor today. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are glorious. You are excellent. You are perfect in all your ways, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are more than a conqueror through him that loves us. Thank you, Lord, for that. We are more than conquerors through him that loves us, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for Jesus coming and dying for us, Father. We appreciate that so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, glorious one. We appreciate you so much, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You are the magnificent one. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
dwell a thousandth of an instant in your love. The greatest word I can imagine, just a fragment of a fraction of enough. Yet my eyes look unto you, not on the body of this death. And in my weakness, Lord, I praise you with this frail and faltering breath. You are magnificent. You are radiant. You're indescribable in your omnipotence. You are incredible, incomparable. And my breathless soul, you are magnificent. Can this human tongue so earthly, and this heart that's so unworthy, sing your praise? Yet I know you're right here listening, as my eyes with tears are glistening, my hands are raised. And the feeling is breathtaking as you lift me up to you. And the spirit's warm embracing electrifies me through and through. You are magnificent. You are
magnificent God. Oh, our God. What an honor to be a Christian. Isn't it an honor to be a Christian? Isn't it glorious that we are born again, believer, that if you're not born again, then ask Jesus into your heart right now. Ask him to forgive you for your sins and wash you in the blood and confess that Jesus is God and you shall be saved. It's that simple. It's not complicated. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered as well, right? Oh, that's a precious promise, too, and we're going to get into some delivered. But first, if you're not saved, get saved, because how many know deliverance is the children's bread, and if you're not a child of God, you can't keep your deliverance. And some Christians even have a hard time keeping their deliverance because they keep going back to the same stuff, the same habit patterns, because you have to change your habit patterns after you get the demon out. Otherwise, you're going to keep on repeating and give an open door to that demon to come back in. And a lot of people do that, you know. They give an open door by their habit patterns. They don't change anything. See, if you're going to get deliverance, you got to be willing to change something. Otherwise, you're going to not be able to keep it, because you're just going to keep on acting the same old ways that you acted before, and the demon will have a dominance again and get right back in there. You got to close the door on the devil. Amen. Close the door. Quit all that negative thinking, that unbelieving thinking that goes on in your mind that got that demon in there in the first place. See? Amen. We're not thinking along the lines of the Word of God. Now, we're all tempted to think things, but we don't have to give in to temptation. How many know that God makes a way of escape from that temptation? Amen. All right, anyway, let's go ahead and command some spirits to come out now. We're going to go against infirmity spirit. Amen. We break every curse right now. You say, I break every curse over my physical body in Jesus' name, generational and otherwise. You say it. I break every curse over my physical body, both generational and otherwise. Every curse of sickness and disease, every inherited spirit of sickness and disease, I break it in Jesus' name. See, you don't have to repeat what grandma had, or your mother, or your dad, or great-grandma, great-grandpa, whatever. You know, this generational stuff can be stopped, can be broken. But we break the curse according to Jesus becoming a curse. I break the curse over my body in Jesus' name. And I command those spirits that came in through the generational curse, the sickness curses, to go in Jesus' name. Come out. All right, now come out right now. You've declared that. I've declared it. Now you have to go. Come out right now. All those generational spirits of infirmity, of sickness, of disease, of you come out in the name of Jesus, the propensity toward getting something that they have, the propensity toward dying young or having heart trouble. Come out. We break the curse. Come out right now. Come out. Heart trouble, heart circulation problems, demons in the circulatory system. Get out right now. Come out. We break the curse over the circulatory system of the body right now, the heart and the organs. In Jesus' name, come out right now. Go right now. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Heart trouble. Circulatory heart disease. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. We break the curse right now over your body in Jesus' name. As we break it, now that heart disease, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. 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 Out of there. All the way out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Come on. All that heart palpitations, come out. All the way out. Come on. In Jesus' name. Come out. 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 Come out of there. I break the curse over your body right now. We break the curse of cancers, of tumors right now. You come out. Come out. We break the curse. Oh, well, so-and-so, my mommy died of this cancer. Uncle Joe died of cancer. We just break that curse of cancer right now over your body right now. All cancer spirits, go. Get out in Jesus' name. Go. Come out, cancer. Come out, cancer. Come out, cancer. Brain cancer, lung cancer, stomach cancer, bowel cancer, colon cancer. Come on. All cancer spirits, kidney cancer. Not kidney cancer, but yeah, all these cancers. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. We rebuke these cancer spirits. Come out. Come out. We break the curse of them. Come out. The curse is broken. All inherited spirits, go, go, come out, 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 come out. Pancreatic cancer, we break that curse. Come out. All pancreatic cancer, come out too. In Jesus' name, go, go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Mouth cancer, throat cancer, come out, come out. Brain cancer, come out. All the way, come out. All those cancer spirits, go, go. Colon cancer, come out. Come out. The blood of Jesus. Just put your hand on your body, wherever you apply that blood. The blood of Jesus against these demons right now. Go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Breast cancer. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Cervical cancer. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out all the way. Come on. Move in Jesus' name. We're talking to you, spirits. You sickness spirits. Get out in Jesus' name. Go. Go, go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Prostate cancer, come out. Prostate cancer, liver cancer, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Come on, tumors, go in Jesus' name. We command them to shrink and be gone in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out. rectal cancer. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. Come on. Oh, lymphatic cancer. Come out. All the way. Come on. All the way. Keep going. I bind you. I break your hold over people's bodies. You go in the name of Jesus right now. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way. Keep coming out. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Keep going. Up out of there. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out now. Come out. Come out. Amen. Jesus said he'll satisfy our mouth with good things. We need to eat the right things. Eat healthy things. I mean, there are things that, you know, that are anti-cancer things that are just powerful, you know. And we stand against this stuff every way we can, right? We stand against wickedness in Jesus' name, every bit of it. But it's the root is the devil, and we have to deal with the devil, or we're not going to get well. We're going to have to deal with the enemy. Now go in Jesus' name. Get out of there all the way out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. I mean, a lot of people just have parasites. They're ate up with parasites. In surgery, we've been told that they take handfuls of worms out of people's inside when they open them up. But parasites, and they throw them in the garbage there in the hospital. And people need to kill the worms in their body too. Worms is like demons and parasites just eating away on your body. Amen. Need to do parasite cleanses in your body. Get rid of those nasty things. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. Come on. If you're eating pork, it's almost impossible to kill the parasites that live in pork. They've cooked it and cooked it and cooked it. And they couldn't kill the worm. It's still alive in there, even after cooking and cooking the pork. So, you know, I don't eat pork, not because of biblical reason, because I don't want to put junk in my body. See, I don't want to put worms in my body, you know. Anyway, I'm getting off on something here, but keep coming out of there. All arthritis, you come out right now. We come against the spirit of arthritis. We come against that spirit. Come out. All that arthritis, come out, 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 come out of there. All arthritis, we break the curse of arthritis. We command the unforgiving spirit to come out. Go all the way out, all the way out. Go, 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 come out, 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 all the way out. All that arthritis, go, all unforgiveness, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Yeah, because unforgiveness is often why people are ate up with arthritis. Yeah, come out. All the way out. Keep coming out. All the way. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there. Up and out of there. Go, go. All that arthritis, go. In Jesus' name, all that asthma, come out. Asthma, come out. Fear of asthma, we break the curse of asthma. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come on. All that asthma, you go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go. Come out. 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 That spirit of infection, come out. Come out. Spirit of infection, come out. All the way out. All the way out. Go. Come out. 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 Come out of there. Come on. All the way out. All the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. Infection spirits, come out. Come out, all that infection, come on, all the way out, all the way out. That spirit of COVID, that spirit of Delta, come out, that spirit of Omicron, come out, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. Keep coming out. I apply the blood of Jesus against you spirits right now. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. Go. Go. We break the curse of these things in Jesus' name. That COVID curse, we break it. You come out of there. Go. All of after effects of COVID, all those after effects spirits, you go too. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. Come on. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All that COVID devil, come out. In Jesus' name, all that COVID sickness spirit, come out. 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 Come out of it all the way. Keep going. All that diabetes spirit, come out. We break the curse of diabetes. We break the curse of constipation. We break the curse of that diabetes. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Come on. All the way. All the way. All that chronic fatigue, you come out too. Chronic fatigue, we break that curse in Jesus' name. We're just dealing with these infirmity things tonight. Keep coming out of there. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Keep coming out. All the way. Spirit of insomnia. Can't sleep at night. Come out. Sleepless spirit. Come out. 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 The sleeplessness. Go. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, spirit. You come out all the way out. All the way out. Keep going. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Tiredness. Chronic fatigue. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Chronic fatigue syndrome. Come out. All the way out. Tiredness. Laziness. Come out. In Jesus' name. Go, go, go. All that tiredness, spirit. Come out. Come out. Tired all the time. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. 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 All that tiredness. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. Keep coming out of there. All the way out. I take care of my temple. I put the B12 in it. I put the vitamin, good multiple vitamin, not one a day. That's junk. That's what they call bedpan bullet. I mean, you know, they just go through your body. You don't get any benefits. But I put good multis in my body. I satisfy my mouth with good things, you know. Amen. Amen. And I try to speak good things, too, and satisfy my mouth that way, speaking that which is of the word, that which is right, that which is godly. Amen. Amen. A lot of people are just putting all kinds of bad things in their mouth, and it's no wonder, you know. Amen. Take care of your body, you know, and satisfy your mouth with good things. And the Lord said He'd do that, but you gotta listen. You gotta think and say, is this really what God wants me putting in my body? Do you ever ask the Lord about what you're eating? Should I even eat this, Lord? You want me to put this in my body? Is this you satisfying my mouth with a good thing? That greasy French fry stuff of McDonald's? That's killing people, you know. I mean, should we just be pumping ourselves full of bad things when the Bible says He'll satisfy us with good things? So do you ever think about asking the Lord, should I be eating this kind of stuff? Is this what I need to be putting in my body? Is this what I need to be filling up on? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I order my vitamins, and I'm not putting out an advertisement, but I get them at good prices from Swanson Vitamins online. Get a lot of good prices there and get the good stuff, good healthy things there for your body to put good things in you. Amen. But anyway, going on, let's keep on getting these spirits out because we're not done yet. There's plenty more, but we're going to run out of time here before we get to all of them. But there's plenty of infirmities that people are suffering from today. Like anxiety, people are suffering from that and going to the psychiatrist, getting pills and different things because they have an anxiety attack, panic attack. You come out of there right now. We break the curse right now. We break the curse. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of there all the way out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. All the way out of there. Yes, Swanson Vitamin. Just look it up, Swanson.com or SwansonVitamin.com, something like that. If you're wanting to know where to get good kind, they carry good kinds and some not so good. But yeah, you just have to know that what you're getting there. Anyway, like Solar Ray seems to be good, and this is my opinion, okay? Because I'm not a doctor, but yeah, these are some of the good brands out there. Irwin, you know, Solar Ray. A lot of different ones. I'm not going to go there right now, but if you have questions, you can ask me later by email or something. All right. The spirits are calling, attacking your eye. Macular degeneration, we come against those too. Macular degeneration, come out of there. Go, 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 go. The deterioration of the eye, come out. Come out right now. Go, go, go. Blindness spirit. Macular degeneration spirit. Go right now. We rebuke you. Come out. 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 All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out. Keep coming out. Up and out of there right now in the name of Jesus. All the way out. Out, out, out. All that macular degeneration. Go. Go, 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 go. Blindness spirit, spirits that attack the eyes, come out. Floaters, come out. All the way out, come out. In Jesus' name, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way up out of there. Go, in Jesus' name. Keep going, keep going. Come out. Fibromyalgia, you come out. We break the curse of fibromyalgia. Come out, 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 come out. Keep going all the way out. I bind you. Come out. Come out all the way out. All the way up out of there. Hair loss. We rebuke that hair loss. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. A lot of people are suffering hair loss that have had COVID and just common after effect. So we rebuke that in Jesus' name. We rebuke hair loss. We rebuke that demon of COVID in Jesus' name. Get out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Get out, get out. All that hair loss, go in Jesus' name. Spirit of indigestion, you come out, come out, come out. Spirit of hay fever, allergy spirits, come out. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Migraine spirit, go. We rebuke those migraines, headache, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, we rebuke that little herpes demon too. Herpes that come in through chicken pox visits and come in past sexually too. You come out of there all the way out. All those herpes spirits, come out. Come out of there all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. Go, come out, come out, come out, come out. The blood of Jesus against you, demon, in Jesus' name. And seek healing and health to the body where these things have been. And body be healed, be whole in the name of Jesus in these areas where these spirits have been attacking and setting up their households and people's bodies. Go in the name of Jesus and be healed, body. Be whole in the name of Jesus as these demons go. So you combine deliverance with healing together to get the fullness of health in your bodies in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that healing. We thank you for that deliverance, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to just seal this deliverance to the people, Lord, and seal healing to their bodies, Father. That just, Lord, if it's a instant healing, praise God. If it's a progressive healing, Lord, we thank you for that as well, Father. That, Lord, we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, whether they recover immediately, whether they recover over a small period of time. But, Lord, they shall recover. We declare it. We speak it in Jesus' name. And we call things that are not as though they are, because they can be in Jesus, in the Word, from the Word, because it's promised in the Word of God. So we're calling things that are not. We're calling the sick healed. We're calling those that have demons that got them out tonight. We're calling them delivered in Jesus' name. So we thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for the Word. Thank you for restoration of our bodies, Father. Thank you, Lord. Things like bilberry and heal our eyes and these other things that put these good things in our mouth for our eyes that we've taken, you know, and have seen people help with taking the eyebride, bilberry, and all these things for their eyes. Thank you, Lord. Natural stuff that restore people's eyes and good things that we put in. We thank you for the wisdom to do those things, too, and the knowledge to do those things, and just attack the devil in every way possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right, well, I've gone the whole time tonight. We're not going to have time for much of a song, but praise God. I appreciate y'all being here tonight. Praise God. We could have gone on and on and on with this, but there's so much to cover in that area. But let's not give place to the devil as we go out.
Neither give place, neither give place, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place, neither give place, neither give place to the devil.
Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Submit yourselves therefore to God.
our adversary the devil.
As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Who is it? Steadfast in the faith. Neither give place to the devil.
Because your adversary the devil,
as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Who is it? Steadfast in the faith.
Amen. That song ended abruptly. But hallelujah. I like what it says. Don't give place to the devil. Amen. This is war every day. Every day. We have to resist the enemy and give no place. Yeah, I told that to somebody just recently. Nobody's going to fix you unless you resist the devil. And yeah, they were having all kinds of problems. And I hope they took it seriously and they're resisting the devil now, because they want somebody else to just fix everything. Ain't it? You got to fight this battle yourself too. You can't just have everybody fix it all. But anyway, love y'all tonight. And thanks for hearing. And thanks for being here. And love each one of you. And I'm praying for you. I'll pray for every listener that listen to this program. You got to minister to them and bless them. All right. Well, good night, folks. Y'all dear people. And we love you. Bye-bye now.